The newest congressional pork report is out. And this year, American taxpayers are set to pay for creative research and spending projects like the $477,000 for transgender monkeys or $465,000 for casinos where pigeons would do the gambling. And my favorite, $25,000 to teach Chinese students surfing. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at one of the oldest traditions in Washington, D.C., wasteful spending, and maybe find one or two good investments in the next year's U.S. federal budget. Maybe. Let's get started. $33 trillion in debt, a historic milestone, which Treasury officials blame on a roughly 50% increase in federal spending between 2019 and fiscal 2021. Now, of course, the Treasury is not going to take accountability, and just like a teenager, is going to blame the rapid increase in government spending, which happened during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the multiple stimulus programs decreased tax revenue and tax cuts. But how long can they actually play the COVID-19 blame game card, considering it wasn't like they weren't warned this was going to be the result? I mean, when the government encourages businesses to stay closed and workers to stay home, what else do you expect? You know, there's a government helping citizens because there's a pandemic going on. I can give it a little grace. However, the amount of money the United States government is currently given in foreign aid, especially to those countries in the midst of battle, is a whole nother situation. Not to mention, while there has always been comical investments in various research projects by the United States government, it seems like they have really raised the bar this year with the absurd projects they deem worthy of U.S. taxpayer dollars. I want to look at a few others and who specifically has asked for them. $6 million for the Ulysses S. Grant Presidential Library at Mississippi State University in Starkville, as lobbied by Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, Republican from Mississippi. Now, Representative Mark Pocan, a Democrat from Wisconsin, was budgeted $250,000 to restore the Driver Opera House in Darlington, Wisconsin. And those are just two of the more than 7,396 earmarks that were noted, which was a 43.9% increase from the previous year. Lots of numbers, and the only number that matters, this cost $26.1 billion in American taxpayer money. So to help us look at one of the oldest traditions in Washington, D.C., wasting taxpayer dollars, let us bring in our panel. We have political strategist and radio host Malik Abdul, political commentator and radio host Steve Gill, business analyst Hillary Ford, which she was also the CEO of Strelmark and a member of the British American Business Association's Board of Directors. Thanks for joining me today. Pork, pork, pork. I think you said it best, Hillary, when you came on. Nobody likes pork, and yet lots of people do, actually. If you're in elected office, you use it. So in preparation for today's show, I actually asked all of you to kind of bring in some of your favorite wasteful spending projects that you found. I want to hear them. Hillary, you actually went back in time and found one of your favorite ones.
Oh, yes, I did. And actually, I did want to start off by saying, I always love Margaret Thatcher's quote, there's no free lunch. So when people think the government's paying for everything or anything, I say the government has zero money. It has your money, and your money, and my money. So it doesn't have any money of its own. Secondly, this isn't anything new. Do you know what President James Monroe said in 1822? He said, when asked about public works, he said that he thought that they might end up being abused and it might be a product of evil for more public works. So it's nothing new. Now to answer your question specifically, my favorite pork barrel object, of course, was the $10,000 toilet seat. I think that was so absurd and only followed up by the $1,000 pair of pliers. So it's nothing new. This has gone on, and that is why in 2011, remember, that the Republican majority put a stop to all the earmarking.
Well, they thought they put a stop to
it. At that point.
Steve, do you have one that you like? You always have such tidbits. This is always great conversations at the dinner table, by the way, to bring up.
Well, and to follow up on Hillary's point, if you ask taxpayers, should the federal government pay for this or pay for that, their answer is yes in polling. If you ask them, should taxpayers pay for that, the answer is no. We don't have have this ability to distinguish between taxpayer money government money, and that's why they can keep doing this. You know, you had a few years back the bridge to nowhere in Alaska, 50 people living there, and it was millions and millions of dollars spent there. And we're actually funding a museum in the Bahamas. Last I checked, that's not even in the United States.
Well, that's interesting because we talk about all the pork projects in the United States. There's a whole slew of them that we are paying in other countries, which brings me to the question, Malik, why do pork projects even exist? We saw that the Republicans said they cut them. Obviously, they didn't. What is the purpose of them?
Well, technically, so pork, when people talk about pork spending, meaning you may get a library, and so they attach these riders to bills where you may get a library, or you may get your roads in your area fixed, or it could even be something like internet access, like broadband access. So politicians add these riders to bill because they help their constituents. Those constituents typically like those sort of things. Like if you say that you're going to build a facility or something like that, the people in the community say, yes, my politician is working for me. But I have an example of wasteful spending. It was a project. Anyone remembers, what was that, the Big Dig or the Big, it was the Boston, it was about 7 miles.
Putting the roads underground.
So it was about 7 miles of road that they were trying to actually put underground. It initially started, people don't remember this, it was Tip O'Neill was one of the ones who was pushing for it back in 1981. In 1981, the cost of the Big Dig, the cost of it was about $2 billion. When they finished it in 2007, the total was $15 billion. Now, the question that people will ask, well, how did it get to $15 billion? Well, everyone knows that if you want to get paid, charge the federal government because the federal government will always pay it. And there's a surcharge typically added to when you're talking about the federal government. So wasteful spending, but everybody kind of shrug. And at least Boston has 7 miles underground, like 7 miles of road.
Well, and that brings to the point, Steve, on this. Some pork, there's a difference between pork that's just wasteful throwing out there, like you said, training squirrels how to gamble, versus things that actually do help the community, maybe a library, I don't want to necessarily say an opera house. Is some pork good?
Well, and just the irony of the Ulysses S. Grant Museum in Mississippi versus Ohio, Michigan.
Right. Just,
that one's mind-boggling. You know, the pork can be good if it's actually, again, delivering some taxpayer money in a specific way to a specific project. The problem, as Malik points out, is there's no real accountability. We've got the Defense Department that can't account for hundreds of billions of dollars of equipment and machinery. Mm-hmm. We left $80 billion behind in Afghanistan. There's no accountability. You know, if a private in the Marine Corps loses his rifle, he has to pay for it. But a general can lose $80 billion in Afghanistan, and nobody gets fired, nobody gets held accountable. And that's a big part of the problem. It's not just where it goes at the end of the day. It's where we don't know where a lot of it's going.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the part of it. You know, what role do lobbyists play in this? Obviously, people are up on the wall. Lobbyists, you know, literally cover the Hill more than politicians do. I think there's like a 3-to-1 ratio. What role do they play in advocating for their funds?
Oh, we know it's absolutely vast, Scotty. And actually, at the beginning of the show, you brought up, obviously, all the COVID emphasis on work from home and stay at home. Which stocks did so well during COVID? All of the FANG stocks. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, add on to that Microsoft.
Airlines.
And all the ones that, all the stocks that were stay at homes, all the FANG stocks were the ones that did well. They had the lobbyists to lobby. And of course, Big Pharma. It's literally every network is sponsored by pharmaceutical companies. And as we know, pharmaceutical companies fund the American medical schools, and the chemical companies give the chemicals to put in our food to make us sick. That then the American medical school supposedly cures us with a pill for an ill. So there's this circuitous view, which is lobbyists basically and money. Follow the money if you want to know what is the root of anything. Those lobbyists are funded by people that aren't necessarily having our individual or corporate or national best interests at heart.
And it's both parties. I mean,
Definitely.
At the Republican debate, the first Republican debate, as they were debating and fighting over the evils of TikTok, the first ad after that block was a TikTok ad.
Yep. Yes.
So that's it. It is both parties that go to it. Yeah, both parties rail against it, Malik. Both parties have spent enough money. Why is there not more accountability? They always say the Republicans actually spend more than Democrats do. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that there should be better accountability? And why aren't each party holding themselves accountable before they point their fingers?
Well, because it would require reining in Congress, putting a checks and balances in Congress, which none of them work. We talked before about the military-industrial complex and how 100% of the time, politicians on both sides of the aisle are always for funding this military-industrial complex. We see in places across Europe, which is different from what we're seeing here in America. Remember last year, there was all of this economic anxiety built up when we heard of the protests in Paris, in Brussels, in all across. This was literally economic anxiety. There was no protests in the in America. There were no economic anxiety protests in America. We typically in America, we will focus on the cultural issues. So whether that's abortion or like gay rights or things like maybe police brutality, we'll march in the streets on those. But when it comes to actually focusing on our economy, trying to force our government to do things, we won't take to the streets at all. And in many ways, we shrug. And it's just something that I actually cannot explain why Americans are that way. Because in Europe, they take to the streets in Europe.
And the last time, Malik's absolutely right on this, the last time that really happened in America was in the 1920s with a huge strike on Washington, D.C., which was the World War I veterans not being paid. And you're right, so we're basically a century later, and it's a very good point. We haven't seen that sort of, I would call it economic outrage. See that.
Well, and some in Congress, Hillary, would actually say they encourage projects because it might put money back in their own economies in those communities. So there's not that economic outrage. They actually can see spending of the federal government taking care of it. Is that a good justification for it, though?
Well, I think your earlier point was, this is linked to your earlier point, is there such thing as good pork? I think there are projects that within the community are necessary and needed. And certainly I know from Pennsylvania, I mean, I think about, Senator Schuster. I mean, he had the infrastructure. They say that the infrastructure in Pennsylvania is credit to him. Those roads have been beneficial for the community. So I think there is such a thing as something that's a benefit.
Ah. Well, I want to thank my panel and hold it right there because I want to continue this discussion about the good and the bad pork. After the break, instead of looking at specific items, we're going to look at departments of the federal government. Which ones are not a good return of investment for U.S. taxpayers? Stick around. Welcome back. Let's continue our conversation about the wasteful spending by the U.S. government with our panel. Political strategist and radio host Malik Abdul, global business analyst Hillary Fordwich, and political commentator and radio host Steve Gill. Thank you so much for continuing this conversation. Obviously, there's a lot of pork, so there's a lot to talk about. I'm going to start with you, Gill, since you've had a lot of experience with the United States federal government. What department of the government do you feel like is wasting the most money?
Well, and I did work for the federal government over two administrations for a while at the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, which is a small, big law firm. But the Department of Commerce, if you're wanting to place somebody that's somebody's brother-in-law, sister-in-law, cousin, donor, Department of Commerce is usually where they end up.
I think most people go, what is the actual Department of Commerce? You're talking about things that actually produce tangible goods. What does the Department of Commerce actually do?
They promote the sale of goods here and abroad. They do some good things, but it just doesn't take the thousands and thousands of workers. And we were talking earlier about which agencies maybe waste the most. I'm involved in the healthcare business, and it is not a secret that if you want to overprice something and sell it, the Department of Veterans Affairs is where it goes. During COVID, we were selling face masks, we were selling the face shields. We were selling them, and most people were selling them for that $15 to $17 item. The Department of Veterans Affairs, in some cases, was paying $50 and $60. There's nothing worse than ripping off our vets, and yet it's gone unreported, unpunished, and needs a lot more attention.
But that's the question. Who's doing that, Steve? Who do you expect to not only report on, and who's actually benefiting from those sorts of things?
Well, the vendors that are selling it for a big profit.
But they still did it. That's the key. It wasn't like this was on check. Hillary, a lot of people say Department of Education. That would have immediately come to mind. Not that it's we shouldn't invest in our children's education, but they look at, usually that's a large amount. Do you feel like that Departments of Education, Commerce, that they're getting the proper scrutiny, and why not? Is that on purpose?
Yeah, and I think one of the things is the scrutiny should also be on, are they propaganda machines, or are they serving our nation? If they're being, if the overall taxpayers, there's plenty, regardless of what your political beliefs are, if you're a Democrat, do you want it to be all Republican-oriented, which it isn't, of course, but if you're Republican-oriented, do you want it to be all democratically oriented? I don't think they should be as politically aligned as they are. So that's number one. Number two, when you asked about which one has the most wasted, I remember when Trump was elected. You remember when 23 senior executives walked out of the State Department? I thought, well, what was the difference? We actually didn't go to war, so maybe it's better when 23 walked out. Nobody was like, wow, look what's happening to our nation. It's falling to bits. And then with regard to commerce, I'd just like to make a comment on this. So I'm based here in Washington, D.C., very established. I've been a member of all sorts of clubs and all the business associations you can imagine, whether it's the Board of Trade and the Northern Virginia Technology Association. I could list like 20 of them I've been a member of. My company for 23 years, network, go to all these events, breakfast, lunches, and dinners before COVID. I never once, not even once, met a member of the Commerce Department out in the business world. Well, what are they doing? If they're not in the business world, how can they work with international businesses and American businesses to further businesses if they're not in the business world? And do you think they're not in Washington, but they're in Iowa or West Virginia? I don't think so. So my question always, what are they all doing in that building if they're not in the business world? That's my question.
Which
for
is
you.
Why I asked you, Steve, what exactly does the Commerce Department do?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying.
it kind of backs that up. I mean, you have a great building.
They're not in the business
community.
D.C.
Are they typing, or is everything online? Have they mainstreamed it?
They collect paychecks and they go to some seminars. They go to community gatherings in the rest of the country, but they aren't really interacting and to my view, creating business. The other thing I'd point out on this whole issue is it's not just how these pork projects hit us in the pocketbook, which it does. It hits us in the policy arena as well. We're pouring billions into Ukraine right now and can't really justify where the money's gone. They can't really tell us where it's going, where it's been spent. But the defense contractors, the same ones that advertise on the Sunday morning shows, not because they want to sell me an F-16, they're wanting the members of Congress and the Senate to know they got clout, they got money, and if they want it in their next election, they better, toe the line. So whether it's there, whether it's in the Middle East, a lot of what we do in military is to fund the same folks who are funding Congress. And the same thing, as Hillary mentioned, when it came to COVID, all the ads that they were running on Fox and MSNBC selling you, get the vax, were being paid for by Big Pharma.
Big Pharma.
Getting taxpayer dollars on that side of attack.
Well, and Eisenhower warned us about this. He said, beware the military-industrial complex. So we have money for a border in another country, but not to secure our own border.
Big military and big pharma are equally dangerous.
Yes.
And one might be more dangerous to people abroad. The other one's very dangerous to here at home. But along with wasting taxpayer dollars, Malik, do you feel like politicians or even political parties use taxpayer dollars to buy the favors, to buy the votes within the community? And is that the right thing? Let's look at the entitlement system. Has it truly just become a way of buying votes?
Well, so I think there are a couple of things. So we talked about the pork spending, and there is good pork spending. I know no one likes to say that, but there are good projects that are beneficial to communities, but then there are other wasteful projects. What we're seeing, and I wanted to piggyback off of what Steve said about this wasteful spending at the Department of Veterans Affairs. It was my last government job. So I worked in I worked actually in the headquarters not far from here, around the corner from here. And I know then just the amount of contractors that government, now it's not just the Department of Veterans Affairs, but the number of contractors that you have doing duplicate works. You may have three different contractors working for three different companies focused on, let's say, communications, meaning writing press releases. This is where the government spends its money. But if I could add an agency that I believe is wasteful in its spending, and in fact, recent reports have suggested that very thing, is DOD. Which is why we have this conversation now where congressmen, they don't even know where the money that we sent to Ukraine is going. There is no accounting for any of that, because when it comes to our military industrial complex, no questions are ever asked. But you know that these defense contractors are making money hand over foot because of what's happening now in Ukraine and what they're ramping up, getting ready to end this support for Israel. So I would say the Department of Defense, as far as wasteful spending, we need to start looking at.
We just had a plane crash of our newest fighter that's the most expensive fighter ever because it can't fly in bad weather.
Sure did.
Are we just going to like schedule wars when the weather's good? I mean, I'm sorry, we can't fight today because it's cloudy.
It's a little cloudy, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was a surprise, but that goes back to what Hillary, there's no accountability on this. There's and is this being done on purpose? Is this why there is this web of bureaucratic protection around these dollars, because it's too hard to figure out where it actually goes to? So people just give up and don't care.
Well, I think it's circuitous. I think it's, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And I think it's circuitous in Washington, D.C., and it's both sides of the aisle. So I don't know how you end it. And if, and again, if President James Monroe was complaining about the same thing and Eisenhower warned us of the same thing, this is nothing new. And it's human nature to be greedy. And I don't see how you end it. I don't know how you end it.
As long as we have lobbyists, it will never end, because they're the ones who are fueling these industries, whether it's the pharmaceutical industry, mm-hmm. the defense industry. Lobbyists are making a killing. And everybody knows, if you want to make a lot of money, if you want to leave Capitol Hill, become a government affairs director at some company or something, which is mm-hmm. effectively a lobbyist. Mm-hmm. You go back and you make lots of money.
And how many of them are greasing the skids for that next job with these contracts, with the things, because they know that when they leave, those guys are going to hire them. We've got generals that have retired that are now advocates and lobbyists for Saudi Arabia mm-hmm. and many of our enemies,
yes.
and
That's
yet they
right.
still have their security clearances.
Yes.
Why are we telling them our secrets that they're then selling to their clients?
Mm-hmm. Which comes back to politicians' complaint about this wasteful spending. Never want to do it. Rand Paul's famous for it. He constantly talks about bad spending. In fact, he's become kind of a celebrity mm-hmm. in that area. Yet he himself doesn't ever do anything about this. Why is it so hard? Why are more politicians, they talk about it, but no action? You mentioned the lobbyists make money, but the politicians are also making money off this too, right, Hillary?
Yes, absolutely. Well, actually, I read something recently that had the net worth of all the presidents when they went into office, into the presidential capacity, and what they were worth when they came out. And one of the ones, for example, Obama, was worth $1.2 million when he went into office. 8 years later, he's worth $80 million. And somebody said, oh, he sold his book. I'm like, wait.
Okay, that's a lot of readers on this book.
I don't actually know anybody who has the book. But it's not just, by the way, it's not just Obama. Every single one of mm-hmm. them increased their net worth in office. Now, how does that happen? I mean, we know that Trump gave his salary back and didn't take a salary, but even still, all of them increased their net worth. How does that happen? Now, the other thing is, of course, with Biden, for how long he's been in office, I actually did meet a very, what I think is, it sounds like an oxymoron, an honest congressman, okay? This was years ago, and he was a conservative congressman from California, and he had one child, and at the time, as a single mother putting lots of kids through school, I know how much it costs. He was relieved when his one son was not going to be going to the same university, was going to go to community college instead, because he would save money. And I was thinking, he's been in Congress all these years, he can't even afford university. Meanwhile, Biden's been in office all those years on a government salary. How on earth do you afford all those properties? How did just a beach house alone in Delaware, there's no government official who is just on a government paycheck could ever afford a house on the beach in Delaware. It would be impossible. So my question is, we should ask all of them, how do you afford your properties? Where does that money come from? All of them.
Dianne Feinstein just passed away with a $100 million estate and a $70 million plane, working in government for the last, well, two centuries. How did she amass that at $180,000 a year salary?
It's financially impossible, yes. Mm-hmm.
But who's going to ask them? You're literally looking at the wolf to check the hen house on this one.
You are.
Because the reality of it is, they're all doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, the one that's not can't afford, you know, their kids going to community college. We're asking the same thing with term limits, politicians to check each other. Is there any chance that that will ever happen?
No, they're not going to do that. And I would even say, if politicians, actually, if Americans wanted to do something, pressure politicians to do something, they would say, if the government shuts down members of Congress, you don't get paid either.
Well, I think that's a fantastic point, Mel. It's a very good point.
Which and your staff either.
And ignore your staff.
And their health care, they get exemptions from the health care mandates.
They get exemptions from, from being able to use their insider knowledge to trade stocks and can make millions of dollars that you or I would go to jail for.
One thing I would say on that, you're absolutely right. You remember when Nancy Pelosi's husband and all the trading?
The band
there is an app, and I think, and I only like to quote what I know to be definite, I believe it's called Pupil, but you can actually use the app to track what they're trading, and then you can follow it. So you know you definitely make money because they've got the insider knowledge.
Now, if the citizens knew how much money they were getting from the lobbyist, and it's not easy to find, I think they should have to, whenever they go on the floor of Congress, they should have to be like a NASCAR driver and have all the
like
logos
that. I like
who's
that.
Paying for
I like
them.
That. Well, you make a point. Even athletes, at least golfers, have the logos all over them. So we know who's paying.
Even pensions, though. We haven't even discussed pensions, that the Congressional Pension Project is probably a lot more than you and I average would get the business today. Thank you so much for this. We could continue to have this conversation about it, and we will. I can promise you that, because at one time, PJ O'Rourke once said, it is a popular delusion that the government wastes vast amounts of money through inefficiency and sloth. Enormous effort and elaborate planning are required to waste this much money. However, just like with most of the problems which politicians complain about on the campaign trail, fixing the problem is never their goal. With a federal budget so large, it's the sheer amount of almost 200 pages plus. It's almost like they know they can get away with it, as who has the time to actually read every page with a fine-tooth comb? Sadly, there are real issues in American streets which need attention. But I guess unless the homeless population or our veterans find a way to pay for a large lobbying firm, they will always be viewed by the Beltway as less important than the transgender monkeys. I'm Sky Nell Hughes, and this has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.